Midnight Patriot Nation.
Midnight Patriot Nation.
Podcasting around the world. It's time for another release of the Liberty Virus with your hosts, Spartan, Cryptic, Phoenix, and Burton.
Those guys are pretty intellectual.
Intellectually stimulating.
Strap in, listen up.
Midnight Patriot Nation, welcome back. It's your boys, Spartan and Cryptic, and we finally have escaped the depths of liberal hell. They tried to silence us, they tried to beat us, but, you know, we enjoy beatings. We even have a safe word, bananas.
The safe word is banana.
Bananas are good. Today, we are coming back to season three, and we're going to discuss Twitter and how Musk has made them take their own poison pill. We're going to talk about the Florida Don't Say Gay bill. And we're going to talk about the New York subway shooting and how something doesn't seem quite right. Also, if you like what we do and want to support us, make sure you check out our website, midnightpatriots.com, to get more info and follow along. Let's get started. I don't know how many people have been keeping track of the stuff that's going on with Twitter right now, but as most should be well aware, Musk bought a significant percentage of Twitter stock to make him the largest shareholder of Twitter. And he wants to shine a light on Twitter's mismanagement of censoring conservatives and suppressing free speech. And
that's that is the understatement of the decade. It's more like take out the garbage, but by all means, continue.
Which is very true. He basically wants to clean house and make the platform better and make it the way that it should be, which is open for everybody to have conversations and debates without the fear of being censored the minute they say something that hurts somebody's feelings. Correct. Yeah. Or canceled. Mm-hmm. So because of this, Twitter, obviously with their feelings hurt and their heads up their ass, decided they were going to do the poison pill. And for those who don't know, basically the poison pill makes it to where they can sell off quantities of stock at a discounted rate, allowing other stockholders and anybody but the person, the majority stockholder, to buy up more stocks at a discounted price, diluting Musk's percentage that he owns. Now, the problem with this is with a poison pill, you know, this can go a couple different ways. One, they can get nailed with lawsuits. Musk could just clear his hands of it and cause them to go through so much lawsuits and litigation that they basically go bankrupt and close the doors themselves. Two, Musk could partner with a few other rich billionaires and buy it all up and still walk away owning Twitter. The other one is that they could decide to actually take his offer instead of taking the poison pill and ending Twitter altogether, you know, but it leads to a bigger conversation. As most people are aware, big tech like Facebook, YouTube, Google, Apple, all of them like to censor anything that's conservative that doesn't agree with their tone, with their narrative. So you really have to wonder how many of these billionaires or multimillionaires that are of the conservative mindset, or at least of the Constitution's mindset, that the freedom of speech should exist and should be there no matter what platform you're using. And to me, I think we could start seeing, If Musk buys Twitter or acquires Twitter, however he's going to do it, you could start seeing others stand up and try and buy out the other platforms. That, or they'll have Gitter and they'll have Gab and some of the other platforms that we can all have actual conversations on and discussions and not be worried about being censored or deplatformed, or as us Midnight Patriots are hugely known for, being shadow banned on Facebook. Thank you, Facebook.
Patriot level up.
Spartan, what do you think?
Well, I think you made a hell of a good point there, buddy. And I'm just going to try to unpack it one thing at a time. Starting with the fact, first of all, Twitter decided to take on the smartest guy in the room. Okay. I don't particularly have any love for Elon Musk. I think he's a cutthroat businessman, like most people that ascend to his level of wealth. That being said, he did put his own ass on the line. He's the one that put up the capital, and he's the one that that risked his own shit. So I don't begrudge him his wealth in any way, shape, or form. I want to make that clear right now. But those elitist snowflake snobs over at Twitter picked the wrong fight. Okay, and I'll tell you why. This was a masterstroke as far as I'm concerned. First of all, they tried to put him on the board to limit the amount of common stock that he could purchase as a board member. Number two, he would have a fiduciary duty to the shareholders in order to make sure that they see profits. That is the fiduciary duty of all members of the board. Okay. The brilliance of Elon Musk is borne out in a couple of different moves. Okay. Number one, that he refused the board position or declined to take the board position, and that allowed him to purchase quite a bit larger share than any board member could acquire. That's number one. Number two, the beautiful part is he may have calculated this, and if he did, then he's probably a master chess player. He made the board flip out when he offered the board basically $10 billion over what the actual company is worth. So let's break that down for just a second. I forget the actual number, but I believe he offered somewhere close to $15 a share above the current shareholder value. Now, that said, when the board denied, just out of hand, rejected the offer, number one, and number two, did not put it to a vote of the shareholders, there's an argument and a fairly substantial legal argument to be made that they violated their fiduciary duty as board members. Now, if what we have heard, and I have no confirmation of this, that the state of Florida and Elon Musk are teaming up for some sort of lawsuit, because evidently the state of Florida is a shareholder in Twitter as well, then you could see not only a significant decrease in share price, number one, but number two, you could actually see people going to jail. And I'm talking about federal prison, because in situations like this, they're governed not only by the fiduciary duty, but also the bylaws of Twitter. Now, that being said, I don't have any idea what those bylaws are. Okay. But I got to tell you, these elitist snobs picked the fight with the wrong guy. And I think an implosion is imminent. And kudos to Elon for pulling this one off. This was a flea flicker into a Hail Mary, and I think Musk is about to cross the goal line and pick up the company for way less than what he actually offered, possibly even in a bankruptcy court.
Right. Well, and that's a good point. Yeah. So the thing I read today, the article was from DeSantis, was talking about the fact that I don't quite know if it's state employees or what, but basically, from what I gathered, is it's the state of Florida basically are invested by 20% or something like that for the shares, right? So
I think I know what you're talking about. I think it's the pension fund, the 20% of the pension fund is,
there you go.
Is, yeah. I got you. Yeah.
It is the pension fund. So they're looking at, like you said, you know, right there, because of the fact that they are technically shareholders and Elon's purchase was not brought up to a vote, they have legal standing right there with their 20% to be able to bring charges against them because of the fact that they weren't consulted. They weren't really notified, I think, honestly, until news broke of it. Like, so talk about a slap in the face, right? Not knowing anything about it until all of a sudden it's being reported that Musk was going to automatically be a board member, and then he said, screw you, you can't control me, is pretty much what that broke down to.
Well, I agree. Number one, and number two, it I think this sums it up real, real well. Now, I shared this in our Facebook stories for the page. And I got to give credit where it's due here. This is obviously not my tweet. It was actually shared by a group we follow called Ladies for America. It's from a guy named Sean Davis. And again, truth be told, no idea who this guy is, but the tweet does seem relevant. And I think he nails it more eloquently than any other details I could provide. And it says, again, the gentleman's name is Sean Davis. The tweet says, the insane response to Elon Musk's proposal to buy Twitter at a significant premium proves that he isn't acquiring a private company. He's acquiring a global government censorship engine. Capitalists don't turn down $10 billion in free money. Only totalitarians would do that. I mean, if that isn't like balls on accurate for, you know, everything that we have seen, you know, in the last several weeks, I don't know what is. I can't even sum it up any better than that.
And that's true. And, you know, I did read another article today that was actually talking about Elon was going to put up $15 billion of his own money with a tender offer that might be happening sometime this week.
Oh, Lord knows he's got it. I mean, that's like me telling you, hey, man, send me over $15. I think the guy's worth 200 and some odd billion dollars. So, yeah, man, $15 billion to him is just a tax write-off, so he doesn't have to pay that.
It's true, and I'm pretty sure
money the IRS doesn't get.
If I recall right, he is the richest man in the world right now.
I think you're right. I think there's his net worth is the highest in the world, at least the highest that we know about.
True, yeah. So it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out and how much more light is shined on big tech companies with other people possibly coming out of the woodwork trying to buy them out. Now, I can't guarantee Facebook would get bought out, but you never know.
Well, yeah, I was going to say at the very minimum, it would set a legal precedent that you can't just reject a tender offer out of hand as a C corp with a ton of different investors and shareholders. You know, there's and I gotta make a comment on this one as well. Now, I know we've got a lot of people out there that believe in private property rights, and believe me, I'm one of them. I am very, very pro private property. That being said, I did hear an excellent argument, and I believe it was Tim Pool that said it. He said that, you know, if Twitter had built the public square, you know, and it was open to the public and people were out there on soapboxes stating their political opinions, it would be like banning them from Twitter would be like having them arrested for exercising their free speech rights. You know, you don't get to build the public square and then control the speech inside of it. And I thought to myself, that's the best argument I have ever heard for this. And while we all do agree to terms and conditions, and by the way, folks, if you ever did read your terms and conditions, you'd probably A, never have a smartphone, and B, would never use social media again. That said, there is an argument to be made that, you know, you can't just build the square in public and then try to ban people from using your platform. I mean, let's be real here and let this sink in for a minute. I know it's been said and it's more like a slogan, but the Taliban has a Twitter account. They're not banned. President Trump is, but the Taliban isn't. Neither is the Ayatollah in Iran. He has a Twitter account. He can tweet as he likes. Matter of fact, I believe Putin still has a Twitter account. I don't know if he's using it now, but these are all people that you know, valid terrorist organizations and enemies of the United States that can say whatever they like, and they seem to be completely immune to this. And the former president of the United States is not allowed on Twitter. I'll say like Tom McDonald did, banning the president from Twitter is more dangerous to freedom than foreign ballistic missiles. That about wraps up my opinion on Twitter, folks. Please let us know what you think. Cryptic, what else you got for this one?
Yeah, well, so talking briefly about what you just brought up about those that aren't censored on Twitter, but former President Trump is, as well as, you know, Babylon Bee and a bunch of other ones that were suspended and everything like that, especially when it came over the Hunter Biden laptop. And all kinds of other things. You know, there was another one that I read a couple days ago. I believe, I don't quite know off the top of my head, but I believe it was a journalist that literally tweeted about pure out hate for Jews, and that another Hitler needs to come around to remove the Jew population. And then it was deleted.
Wow.
And this person still has a Twitter account. I don't remember quite who it was. I briefly glanced at the article when I was going through other news topics and everything like that. But yeah, somebody, an American, straight out was able to tweet that and delete it and still has an account.
Well, that brings up another more important topic. You know, if we're going to talk about freedom of speech, I wholeheartedly disagree with that statement. Okay. And wholeheartedly. Nobody deserves to die just for who they are, for the religion that they choose. Number one, number two, if we're going to stand up for free speech in America, if we're going to start standing up for it again, we've got to embrace the fact that I may disagree with what you say, but I will fight to my death to protect your right to say it. We seem to have lost that in this country. You know, they created the term hate speech to increase silence. You know, people seem to forget that the First Amendment protects pornographers. It protects priests. It protects everybody. Now, granted, that's only from government reprisals, but isn't that what we're seeing when Jen Psaki and the White House suggests to Facebook things that are problematic posts? I mean, that's exactly what we're seeing, is that big tech has become the de facto censorship arm of the federal government, which, gee, these guys a couple hundred years ago had the benefit of history and the cojones to say, well, you don't get to do that. So while nobody's screaming fire in a crowded theater, if there was a fire, that would be fine. You know, we got to remove the term hate speech from the public square, because it's really just a bunch of hurt feelings and bullshit.
Yes, I agree with that completely. And we're going to go ahead and take a break here real quick before we get on our next topic about the Florida Don't Say Gay bill.
Again, this is a complete misnomer.
We'll get into that here in a minute. Again, if you like what you're hearing, please don't hesitate to click the subscribe button. Follow us. We'll have weekly podcasts coming out. Also, you can check out our website, midnightpatriots.com. Find out ways, all our socials, ways to support us, merch, and so much more. We'll be right back. Welcome back, Midnight Patriot Nation. Thanks for joining us. Next topic we're going to talk about is the Florida Don't Say Gay bill. Look, we just want to help set the record straight once and for all, cut through all the bullshit, all the mainstream media hype, all the left voices that want you to believe that it's something it's not. Okay, so we did our own research. The bill itself is 7 pages. Seven.
And it actually stands. It has also is worth mentioning that it took us a whopping 3 minutes to do the research to find all of this information.
And that's fair, right? So the left can even spin mainstream media, the radical left, the liberal left, whatever you want to call, couldn't even take time to do some simple research. They just automatically decided, let's label it the Don't Say Gay bill. Okay, here's some quick rundown for you. Okay, when we pulled up the bill, the 7 pages, mind you, we did a search. We searched.
That's seven entire pages. I mean, it makes complete sense. Liberals can't read 7 pages. They haven't bothered to read the 34 pages of the Constitution and the amendments. So why the hell would they read 7? Go ahead.
I'm just saying, if it doesn't have pictures, they don't understand it. I mean, let's exactly. Just simple-minded exactly. Here. All right, so we decided, let's see what happens. So we did a search for the word gay. Hey, guess what? 0 out of 0. Returned.
0.
So we decided, okay, let's find out. So we did a search for transgender or trans. Guess what? You guessed it. 0 out of 0.
0.
Okay, so then we decided, okay, let's try this. So we did sexual. Well, we started with the word sex, and it brought up 2 entries, which it referred into sexual for sexual orientation. Guess how many times that shows up in the bill? Twice. Then we decided, let's do gender. We search up gender. Guess what?
Twice.
Came up twice, and it came up in reference to gender. What was identity. It? Gender identity.
Gender identity. Yeah. Okay. What's particularly worth noting here is the fact that, excuse me, I'm actually looking at the bill right in front of me here, and I actually bookmarked it. We'll put a link up on the site for you guys under the show notes so you guys can actually read it for yourself. Highly recommend that you read all 7 pages, but the absolute and total core of this bill is found between lines 97 and 101. And like I said, it's a whopping 7 pages, so even if you read it, it's probably going to take you a whole 5 minutes. And I'm just going to read directly from the bill here because, like I said, we're all about truth and cutting out of the bullshit and getting right down to it. And it's paragraph 3, line 97. And what it says is, classroom instruction by school personnel or third parties on sexual orientation or gender identity may not occur in kindergarten through grade 3. or in a matter that is not, or in a manner that is not age appropriate or developmentally appropriate for students in accordance with state standards. I mean, I don't know about you, but you know, these Hollywood dipshits obviously haven't read this bill because these snowflakes are having a complete meltdown. And why would you want, let me ask you a question. I mean, you're a dad, I'm a dad. Fortunately, I have an adult kid now, but you know, when she was, what do you think? What grade three is what? 7 years old?
Seven to eight.
Okay. Kindergarten is 4 to 5-ish. Let's call it 4. So let me ask you this. Do you want some creepo talking to your freaking kid about sexual orientation, gender identity, or anything? I mean, I got news for you. And this is not a threat. If I found that out, that somebody was talking to my kid about sex, an adult was talking to my kid about inappropriate things I found inappropriate, I might get slightly hostile.
Right.
I don't know if you remember that age. I kind of do. And the only thing I remembered was that girls had cooties and I was trying to figure out how my pecker was attached.
I was just trying to figure out how to hold it so I didn't pee on the seat.
Right, man. I'm working on my aim here, and you guys will understand this: the position for the silencer and the position for no silencer on the toilet. We all know it, but you know that these are the things you're trying to figure out when you're 4 to 8 years old.
Well,
that's which side of your womb smells the worst.
You know, honestly, an adult talking to a child, not even their child, about sex, is like a factor of 10 creepy. It's just I would be comfortable with. And I mean, I'm remembering back my kindergarten to third grade. And like you said, third grade girls still had cooties. You played tag with about absolutely cooties. The girls absolutely would play tag with the boys, wow, but you know, it was extra if you got tagged by a girl or if the girl got tagged by
I know.
Nobody cared. Hell
yeah. And then we all got hormones
and things, hair started growing places you didn't know why, but you know, ultimately, the other part to that is the fact that, you know, my years of kindergarten through third grade, I remember some of the kids that were in there and they were more interested in eating glue and gluing their hands together, nap time, snack time, and coloring, not even in the lines, just color. You couldn't play with scissors. The teacher had to help you with scissors and anything else.
Yes. You had to have safety scissors. Yes, I remember.
So,
well, even going back to my school days as a little bit older kid, I mean, I remember in middle school, we had to have permission slips when we were actually going to do sex ed. I don't even remember. I mean, you remember that? I thought that was a thing when you were in school.
Oh, no, I remember that. You had to have a permission slip that the parents had to sign saying that it was okay for you to do sex ed class. Mm-hmm. And even then, after having sex ed class, right, there was always usually followed up by a parent teacher conference to inform the parents of what your kid had learned and to help ease your parents into having the odd, weird conversations about, you know, sorry, I'm going to say it, but masturbation and, you know, when to and not to play with yourself in public.
I was going to say, well, I remember that, I think it was my junior year of high school, even they were talking about, you know, health class. And that's when, you know, AIDS was really big. You know, HIV and AIDS was really big and safe sex and whatnot. And it was funny. I remember the teacher, it was a female teacher. I forget her name, but what she said was, you know, we're not going to discuss morality in this class. We're going to discuss mechanics. Yeah. And I thought, okay, that resonates. You know, I mean, and I always thought that, you know, don't get me wrong, I'm not a perfect parent by any stretch of the imagination. You know this, I know this, the kid knows this. But yeah, I always thought it was the parents' job to teach quote unquote more.
Correct.
Okay. I mean, I don't think anybody has a problem with biology, but you know, morality is something that schools have no business teaching as far as that, you know, aspect of one's life. Yeah. That's just my opinion.
Well, and you know what? Don't get me wrong, you know, and I can say, besides just me, I can say the entire Midnight Patriot staff, honestly, we don't care who you love, who you sleep with, who you're married to. We don't care about your orientation. Here's the one thing I do care about. Nope. There are only two fucking genders, people. There are two. There is male and there is female. I don't care what you say. If you, and the thing that kills me is
we're going to Facebook jail for that. Love it. Keep.
Eh, We've been shadow banned before. We'll continue to do it.
That's true.
I'm just saying, you can't sit there and tell me that there are more genders, because any biology book you look at that isn't written by a left-sided schizophrenic mental case clearly defines the fact that there's male and female. The Bible references it. Just about any book up until they decided to take this whole sexual orientation to a whole new level. You pull any book off the shelf in a library way from, you know, back in our younger days, all of it referenced male or female. Even if you're transgender, you were still born male or female. You want to change from being male to female when you can soundly make up your mind, then that's you. But do not look for special attention, because you can't cut it in male swimming that you have to go beat up the women's swimming, because you just can't cut it because you're 300th place out of all the men, but you can take first place because you're a man swimming at a women's level.
Well, that's really the crux of the issue. I mean, don't get me wrong. I somewhat agree with the point that there's biological assignment, and then there's a separate concept of gender. But that being said, I'm not convinced, number one. And number two, I don't care what you are or how you identify. I don't have to throw you a party because of your life choices, okay? I don't have to be positive and pat you on the back and tell you how wonderful a person you are because you decided what private parts you have and you don't. No one should have to be sucked into your delusion. Now that, you know, this goes back to my previous point of nobody deserves to die or be harassed for just who they are. You know, I mean, nobody here cares about that. And matter of fact, I don't know a single person that I associate with that cares about that. You know, your delusions are your delusions, but, you know, I should not be forced. No one should be forced to participate in them. I mean, that's my freedom of choice. So, you know, as long as you're a good person, I don't care what you dress up as or call yourself, but I don't have to be sucked into your delusion, and I shouldn't be required to, like I said, throw you a party for your life choices. You certainly don't throw me a party for mine.
Yeah, and that's completely fair. And that's kind of where I was going. I know we got a little off topic there. So let's swing back to the Florida Don't Say Gay bill. So the other part to it, right, is as many people have probably heard, you know, the mainstream media, the left, celebrities, blah, 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 are all claiming that Americans are outraged by the parental rights in education bill, the Don't Say Gay bill.
Not so much.
Also in our research, we went to the left-sided Washington Times for a poll they recently did. And guess what? 60% of American U.S. voters? Yeah, they support the language in the bill. They don't think their kids should be groomed any more than anybody else does. So they've just spent this whole time just trying to rile up people. And it's all people who haven't read the 7 pages. Mind you.
Well, yeah, they can't be bothered to read the 34 pages of the Constitution. But, you know, they pretend they're experts on it. So why wouldn't they be experts about not reading a 7-page bill in Florida?
Well, and you know,
emotional reaction makes them an expert, obviously.
Obviously. Well, and, you know, I've got to hand it to DeSantis because, you know, the way he's handling it. So Disney decided to go woke or broke, go figure, as most corporations seem to be doing anymore. You know, and their execs decided, hey, we're going to put, you know, anything that we produce going forward, we're going to do much more LGBTQT exclamation point, hashtag, whatever gender you want to go with. In all of their children's, their programming, right? So they want to cater and basically allow your children to be brainwashed by their programming. And fortunately, there are some people that are kind of standing up for this that are working on it. I don't know if you've heard about it, Spartan, but like the Daily Wire decided they're going to release their own children's programming not going to have anything to do with pushing any kind of morals or anything out of ordinary of, you know, like Sesame Street, counting to three, you know, colors, anything that's not political based. And
I'm sorry, I gotta cut you off here. And it's not a it's not that I wholeheartedly disagree, but think back for a minute. And I'm a child of the late 70s. Okay. So back then, I remember there was all kinds of parental groups that were freaking out because they put handicapped kids on Sesame Street. Okay. People with disabilities on Sesame Street. And I always thought to myself, geez, why is this such a big deal? And don't you have anything better to do with your time? I just think that the pendulum has swung the other way. And, you know, there is such a thing as, you know, kids that have two dads and kids that have two moms. You know, I don't necessarily disagree with, covering that or, you know, actually stating that that's a fact, but, you know, the morality of the situation doesn't need to be commented on. So, you know, normalization is one thing, but I think we're just experiencing a pendulum swing the other way. And, you know, take that strictly at face value. That's just from my limited mind. I know that a lot of companies are quote unquote fighting back, but I don't know exactly what they're fighting back against. I mean, maybe my perception is just off, and because I'm not very religious in any way, shape or form, I don't see a lot of what they're talking about. So unless it gets far worse, I can't say that I am wholeheartedly against, the actual term of inclusion. But yeah, I'm just coming from a strictly secularist point of view. I don't particularly, judge morality. And also, Disney's optional. Disney's optional. There's no one forcing anyone to read it or otherwise. And Dr. Steve Turley for a long time has been talking about, establishing a parallel economy. And I think if people want what the Daily Wire and others have to offer and they object to what Disney has to offer, that's fine. But, at some point, somebody is going to have to tell your kids that, life is not always, what you see on TV. So I don't know if this is actually an issue of people being too busy to raise their own kids and using the TV as a babysitter, or if this is actually a moral outrage issue. Go ahead, man. Sorry.
Well, and I think you're right. Is part of it is that I think people are being, I think that people are a little bit more outraged because, like you said, it is a babysitting tool. Right. It's not, I mean, I remember growing up to Disney and watching, Mickey Mouse Club and all the Mickey Mouse cartoons.
Sure.
And a lot of the Disney cartoons, and there was always subtle undertones. Everybody remembers the
sure.
Little Mermaid and the penis castles.
I remember that.
And
those things are worth like 50 grand now.
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead.
Sorry. Yeah. And the Aladdin, where there was a certain version where if you turned it up loud enough, you could hear the genie say, take off your clothes, which I don't know if that one was ever actually true, but
I brought it up. I heard that one, but I did not ever hear that. I did not ever like.
I never did either. And I turned it up so loud, it should have blown out my eardrums and I still never heard it, but I agree.
Exactly.
It's a state of being now that yes, people have two moms, people have two dads, and I'm all for the inclusion of it, but not the, like, I guess the grooming or the constant pushing it down the throat, like even if you watch some TV shows now, it's fine if you want to cast gay characters, in a relationship or anything like that, but constantly forcing the view of love scenes with them. And, just like, I feel like it's just more of a force feeding people to force them to accept it versus acknowledging that it exists.
Okay.
Right. So, I mean, I'm not against, putting it out there because people should know that that's how it is. I mean, there are family dynamics that are like that. There's gay and lesbian and queer. There's all kinds of different relationships. And like I said, I don't care who you love, who you sleep with, who you're married to, who's the man, who's the woman. I don't care about any of that. But I just feel like one, the demographic for Disney, right, is usually younger audiences. I mean, once you grow up on them, then you watch them when you're older. But I mean, it's kind of the same demographic as the Florida Bill, right? Like kindergarten through third grade, usually when you put Disney on for them to watch before when they have their snack after school, before they do homework.
Sure.
Or
on the road trip to grandma's in the car. I hear you.
Right. And so with that, it's in a sense, it's no different if they're going to force it down and make it a part of every programming that they make going forward. I mean, the executives were on record saying that they were going to basically force feed any of their subscribers or anybody who watches anything Disney to recognize it and accept it. And I think that's where I kind of have a rough time with it, is just the force feeding it down people's throats and trying to make it that, you know, obviously if you disagree with it, you're automatically a bigot or a racist or whatever term they come up with next. And that's where I run into it. However, real quick, before we wrap up this section, you know, I kind of just wanted to give props too, to DeSantis, because of the fact that Disney came out, you know, bashing the parental rights in education bill. And for a long time, Disney had this tax deduction. They pretty much could had this bill in place or this law that let them govern themselves. They were basically their own island within Florida. They had tax breaks.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
They were able to do whatever they wanted to. And now that they want to back the grooming side of the left, as opposed to actually reading the seven pages and sticking to it. I mean, we know Disney has always been left-leaning political in everything they've ever supported.
They definitely have in the last 20 to 30 years for certain.
Yeah. So it is nice to see him sitting there and checking out the legal options to remove Disney's zoning and the law that lets them govern themselves. Because if they're going to be part of the state, then they should adhere to the state. You don't get to be special just because you had great economy boost for Florida and so on. Like, if you can't stand with what Florida does, move out.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. We all know that. Oh, man. You know, one other point I'd like to make here real quickly, and I think the crux of all this is parents need to decide what's age appropriate for their kids. You know, I don't think that even this bill, okay, this bill, even after having read it, there's the argument that the opposite could be true, that, you know, a kid who is gender confused, and maybe there are some that are gender confused that are in that age bracket. Okay. Well, I don't think that teachers need to be providing advice. I think teachers do need to be, you know, referring these kids to their parents. If the kid, you know, does alert the teacher that there might be a problem with the referral, okay, there's support options available, and they're even included in the bill. So I can't even see the harm in the reverse. I don't think any parent whose, you know, child is having some sort of crisis, you know, would object to them going to the teacher and then having the teacher say, hey, you know, your child had a conversation with me about this. There are resources available. You know, would you like to choose to, you know, actually have us engage those support options for your kid? You know, I mean, obviously there's a segment of society that is completely and totally against, but yeah, I got to be honest with you. I think those things are few and far between. I think parents deserve the right and the ability to be able to decide what's age appropriate for their kids.
Absolutely, I agree. So we're going to take another quick break here, real quick, before we dive into the New York City subway incident and how some things don't quite add up right. If you like what we do, go ahead and visit our website, midnightpatriots.com. Check out the links, ways to subscribe, follow our socials, support us. You know, we have day jobs because, well, we do this for free.
We become accustomed to such luxuries as food and heat.
Yeah. So, you know, if you like what you're hearing and want to be able to help us from being shadow banned or be able to still put out great content, please check out the website and donate or support us in other ways. We'll be right back.
You're going to dig this next segment, man. Stay with us.
Welcome back, everybody, to Midnight Patriots. I hope everybody's enjoying the show so far. And next topic we're going to talk about is the New York City subway incident. I'm going to go ahead and kick this off to Spartan because he's got a splinter in his head he needs to get out. Spartan, go ahead and take it away.
Man. Yeah. So obviously condolences, thoughts and prayers to everybody that was a victim of this. Let's call it what it was, a terrorist attack, period. I don't care if you want to split legal hairs or not. This shooter was a depraved lunatic that, that committed this atrocity. That being said, a couple things didn't sit right with me, and it started when I heard a clip, a news clip where a reporter in New York, and I believe she was local, I don't think it was national, she mentioned something to me that just flew in the face of everything that I know to be true. I want to start off this by saying a couple things. Number one, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, okay? But I am a things aren't adding up, and it's fucking obvious theorist. Whereas George Carlin would say, you know, why do people use conspiracy theories, conspiracy theorists as an insult? Is it that hard to believe that the wealthy and powerful would get together and actually have a plan to keep the rest of us out of the club? I don't think it is. Also, with what we've seen over the past 15 to 18 months, let's just be honest, guys, conspiracy theories should now be referred to as spoiler alerts. And if you have any doubt about that, please feel free to review our content from season one and some of the predictions that we actually made early in season two, when the current douchebag that occupies the Oval Office was actually elected. So getting down into the meat of this thing, let me kind of start you off with what this was. And Cryptic, this particular portion of the show, we haven't rehearsed or barely even talked about, to be totally honest. So when I'm going to ask you and our audience a question here real quick. And then, you know, once I ask the question, Cryptic, give us a couple seconds and then form a response. Okay.
Okay.
So if I say the word Glock to you, other than just handgun, what do you think of? What are the qualities of a Glock?
So to me, first of all, let's preference this with the fact that I'm a new gun owner.
Okay.
I know guns, but at the same time, I'm still fairly new to actually owning one. But
okay,
from what I know, Glocks are one of the most reliable handguns. I know that they're used primarily by law enforcement and military. Like, they're the go-to gun.
Yes. In our own country here, multiple military and government agencies that pack firearms, you're right, they're the go-to. Matter of fact, it's not just ours. It is internationally. So the world over, law enforcement, intelligence agencies, and et cetera, actually use Glock as their go-to weapon of choice for reliability and for their own protecting needs. So let's drill this down a little bit further. If you believe in any of that, that would be fine because you are not you're not alone there. Second, one of the things I heard that really started this thing not smelling right, according to this reporter, the New York Police Department released a statement saying the Glock jammed. Let that sink in for just a second. The Glock jammed? That doesn't sound right. I mean, is it possible? Sure. So the guy got off 33 shots and he just stopped after having the foresight to bring a gas mask, canisters of gas to cause a distraction. All of a sudden, he just stops. You know, secondly, the cameras in the area that this happened weren't working. A la Epstein, anybody? And then the best funded, most advanced police department in the country couldn't catch this guy without the help of a civilian that actually called it in. Any of that sound rotten to you? I mean, you combine that with the fact that this guy was on the FBI's radar until 2019. The accused, and I should make this very clear, he's a suspect at this point. His name was, I believe, Frank James. Guy appears to be a black supremacist, but he was on the FBI's radar for a number of years, and then all of a sudden, he just dropped off. I mean, that sounds a little convenient. Yeah, at least it does to me. Does it sound like that to anybody else?
Yeah, and you make some valid points there. You know, I was kind of just, while I was going through, I was just kind of looking at up some articles and everything like that. And, it's kind of interesting. So while you were talking about it, I was doing a little search on the Googles as far as Glocks, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. the most common thing that I could find was it was talking about on multiple different sites said that the most common cause for a Glock to jam would be if you're limp gripping or limp wristing it, but not like not because of the gun itself.
Right. Exactly. So there's even a term that Glock likes to use in their advertising. And I think this is relatively true. All you Glock people, please feel free to hit us up. Glock perfection is a term that's widely used when referring to any Glock firearm. Obviously opinions vary. I'm not really a Glock guy, but that being said, they have a very wide reputation for reliability. So that's number one, the Glock jammed. So I'm not thinking that a man loaded with this much rage would do something like this is going to quote unquote limp wrist the gun. Okay. If the guy's panicked or if he's that angry, he's going to have sufficient adrenaline to hold that gun tightly and start popping off shots. So that's a key piece of the puzzle here. Number one, number two, I'm just curious. Did the guy go to the same academy that the stormtroopers in Star Wars go to? Let's ask that question wholeheartedly because he popped off 33 shots. Okay. 33 shots and only got 11 hits in a sealed tube that's about 10 feet wide.
Bunch of shots.
Yeah, exactly. It's not a good percentage. It should have been. And I don't want to sound like I'm hoping for this, but anybody that had a modicum of firearms training or even took that thing to the range three or four times would have been able to score at least twice that many hits. And I don't even know. I haven't even heard about a kill count. I mean, last I checked, there was, I believe, 11 people hit by bullets, but there was 22 people total or 22 others, quote unquote, injured. Now, I don't know. I think I would speculate that that's from, people rushing off the subway car, but that's just my thoughts on the issue. Number three, if he had a bag of goodies, as it was described, number one, what does that entail? I mean, we've heard the word explosive used. Why weren't those deployed? You see where I'm going with this? This all seems more like an act of political theater than anything else. That, and conveniently, the new mayor of New York decides to use the opportunity to rail about gun control. Now, last I checked, New York has one of the strictest gun control laws in the nation, similar to Chicago. Matter of fact, I don't know if anybody remembers the name Plaxico Burress. I mean, I don't watch the NFL much anymore, but I remember Plaxico Burress playing for the New York Giants. He was stupid enough to carry a handgun into a New York nightclub, shoot himself in the leg, and then receive 2 years in prison for it because he was carrying a gun in New York. So we've also got the other obvious thing that gun control is a complete and total failure, even where it is the strictest, as long as you don't care about it. And clearly this guy didn't. So what's to be gained from all this? I mean, basically, we've got an Epstein on a train that eludes the cops for 24 hours after pulling something like this. None of this makes sense. I mean, what are your thoughts on it, Cryptid? Because I got to be straight, man. This to me seems like more like a move of political theater than it does an actual terrorist attack. And like I said, my heart is broken for those folks that actually got shot and actually were that afraid because this was horrifying.
Yeah, and so I'm kind of looking up at the article here. And I did pull up something from ABC News, which will be in the show notes, a link to this, but it tells me that the shooting suspect called the tip line on himself. Okay. So I find that a little bit odd as well, is
right.
Why he'd go through all this just to basically report himself and get himself turned.
Yeah,
I'm not saying that it couldn't be something, not necessarily going devil's advocate here for a minute off of the political standpoint.
Could
also be something mental health. I know I read some reports, that he was a huge BLM supporter. And from what I'm seeing from this article, it's talking about that there was, it looks like you were correct that there was 22 people. Hold on.
22 people here. Total. 22 20, people there was total.
20. So there was 29 people that suffered various injuries, and all but
right.
four of them were cleared from the hospital. It right. doesn't say anything about any deaths. So it leads me to also wonder, we've spoken about it before in multiple episodes about mental health.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
it may not be a political thing, but it's very possible that it could have been a mental health thing. I mean, you know, I don't want to speculate much, but let's say he, the shooter is, maybe was either on some kind of drugs or, I forget exactly what his profession is.
I forget. Yeah. I don't recall either,
but
as a matter of fact, I don't even think it was mentioned. I hate to use the word podcast, but he put out a lot of posts about, you know, his hatred for other races, as far as I know. And, you know, he was on the FBI radar, and then they stopped monitoring him in 2019. But to lend credence to your mental health crisis theory, I don't see any flaws with that, except that I don't think he would just calm down. Does that make sense? I mean, if he went nuts enough to do this with all the planning that it required and all the, let's just face, let's call it what it is, cojones to try to pull it off, he's just going to calm down. But then again, you know, if it is a mental health issue, there's no telling what he may or may not have done. But I just, like I said, something about this whole thing doesn't smell right. You know, a couple of weeks ago, Biden mouths off about that shooting that was in the shooting in California. And turns out it wasn't a gun control issue. It wasn't a freaking, one party shooting. It was a gunfight involving six or more people. And some people got caught in the crossfire. So, you know, again, people who don't give a shit about gun control in California decided to do this thing. And there was a bunch of helpless bystanders, law-abiding citizens who weren't carrying their guns, if they did, in fact, have them, weren't able to because they follow the law and they're the victims.
True. And
I think
until more details come out, it's just, I mean, like I said, if it is a mental health thing, it's easy that he went from, you know, snapping to calming down. It's possible, you know, depending on what he does for, and like I said, this is more devil's advocate. Like, I still agree that something doesn't smell right about it. And I find that it is kind of like, in my mind, it's kind of convenient right after the ghost gun legislation and all the stuff that the Biden admin has been pushing for gun control, that something happens. But at the same time, I mean, you look at Chicago and everything like that, where there's multiple killings just in a weekend. So it's hard to say. I'm not sure if I would necessarily say it was political motivated. I think there might be some things that were twisted to make it, especially since we can't trust the mainstream media. It's very possible that they're reporting certain facts to help push the gun agenda. I mean, the person who did this, you know, it doesn't, from what I can see, it doesn't say that anybody was actually killed. I don't know.
Yeah.
More facts. This is just the first article I pulled up on it.
That's the really odd part. And just the articles that I've seen ever since it happened, they don't mention anyone dying from it.
Yeah.
And that's just weird. I mean, you're talking about one of the, you know, we're talking about a firearm that has a reputation of being hyper accurate, close range weapon that is incredibly reliable. And it jams 22 bullets into 33 of, from the 22 bullets into a 33 round shot session. It just doesn't add to me, you know, that, and the fact that they wanted to not even talk about the race of the shooter for identification purposes. I think that's a little odd, don't you? I mean, let's be straight. If it was a white guy, his face would have been plastered all over the news everywhere.
Yeah. And all the bylines would have said, you know, racist or white racist opens fire on New York.
What it would have said is Trump supporter. Trump supporter causes terror in New York subway system. That's what it would have said.
Yeah. It would have been anything. So it's hard to say exactly all of the information on this incident, because of the fact that, you know, you can only get so much from mainstream media, and there's things that obviously, because it's an ongoing investigation, everything that they can't release. But again, I mean, there's a possibility that it has something to do with mental health. There's a possibility, depending on what the person's job is, you know, could have been exposed to chemicals or something along those lines. I mean, there's a lot of different possible things. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not justifying or on the side of this dude at all. What he did was completely despicable.
Well, and also let's also be fair. If he did it, Okay, he is currently under arrest, and he's a suspect, but that doesn't make him guilty, and you and I both know that. So let's be fair. The accused currently, that's the other weird thing. There is no reference that any charges have been filed.
Agreed. No, I mean, even from this article, and the article that I'm looking at was literally posted April 13th at 6:25 p.m.
Okay, so for me that's the trifecta. Okay, no charges have yet been filed. Okay, the Glock jammed, they couldn't find it. The cameras. Oh yeah, one other cinching factor: the cameras didn't work. So like I said, something definitely don't smell right with this one, guys. So just everybody watch your sticks, keep your head on a swivel, protect yourself at all times, and maybe stay out of New York. I mean, listen to all our wonderful fans that listen from New York City. We do love you, but consider a location change. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's true. You bring up some valid points, and as things will come out, we'll find out possibly more depending on what they release and everything. Like I said,
yeah, guys, let us know if you guys want us to cover this a little bit further. Because like I said, that right now I'm intrigued, and like I said, we've got four things out of the possible six that just don't freaking smell right at all. I'm not talking about Illuminati or anything like that, but I mean, come on, this is too convenient. And that speech that the mayor made after the we got him, that seemed awfully canned and awfully prepared to go right into an anti-gun rail that, oh, we can't stop the guns. Well, maybe you should have thought of that when you defunded the the major crimes unit. Yeah, that's one thing people don't seem to remember, is that the Democratic urging of the former governor or the former mayor, they cut the major crimes unit budget almost entirely. And that's verifiable. Everybody out there can look that up. But yeah, guys, let us know if you want to hear more about this. We'll track it and see what does come out. Go ahead, dude.
All right. Well, I think that's going to cover tonight's episode, Midnight Patriot Nation. We thank you for tuning in and listening and hearing our crazy nonsense and rambles. Again, we've been labeled conspiracy theorists before, and really it's just been spoilers.
Yeah, total disclaimer. These are just the ramblings of people that are insomniacs and sleep deprived and way overloaded on caffeine. So none of this should be taken as medical advice, legal advice, or anything other than just entertainment. But we hope you enjoyed it.
Absolutely. And next week, we're going to have an episode talking about the different legal Next week, we're going to talk about the legal proceedings going on around Washington, Hunter Biden's laptop, the Russia-Trump investigation that's now looking a lot dirtier for Hillary Clinton and high-tech tech moguls. So again, check out our website, midnightpatriots.com. Drop down comments, subscribe, let us know how we're doing, let us know what you want to hear. Definitely chime in on anything we bring up and help support the cause. Until next time, we'll talk to you later.
The Constitution is not just a suggestion.
Midnight Patriot Nation. On behalf of Spartan, Cryptic, Phoenix, and Jack Burton, thanks for hanging out with us and listening. Be sure to visit us at midnightpatriots.com for all our social links and gear. Always remember, the Constitution is not just a suggestion. Midnight Patriot Nation. On behalf of Spartan, Cryptic, Phoenix, and Jack Burton, thanks for hanging out with us and listening. Be sure to visit us at midnightpatriots.com for all our social links and gear. Always remember, the Constitution is not just a suggestion.